Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, as we continue our study on perfect peace. Romans chapter 10. Father, thank you this morning that I have your Holy Spirit to speak through me. Father, I thank you. It's not my words, but it's your words. Not my understanding, but your revealed knowledge that will come through this morning, Father. May we have hearts to receive and eyes to see spiritually and spiritual ears to be receptors and to pick up what you're saying to us this morning. Bind through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, reading with me, Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Isn't that interesting? The gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The New Living Translation puts it this way, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So the gospel is peace. Now I want you to think for a moment why that might be the case. Well, if it's good news, and that's what gospel is, good news, then good news should bring a sense of peace and well-being to the hearer. Would you not agree? I mean, bad news is not going to bring peace as a general rule, but good news should. So, if the gospel is good news, why is it that the churches aren't flooded with people that can't wait to get inside them to hear the good news? Now, I'm not going to answer that question, but I'm putting that question out there. Why aren't they flooded with people to hear good news? What is it about this gospel that's changed from the time of Jesus until now, that people aren't interested in hearing about good news which brings peace? So go with me to Isaiah, because Paul, when he wrote this letter, was quoting from Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. I'm reading from the King James. Isaiah 52 and verse 7, and it says this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, so that unto Zion, that says unto Zion, my God reigns. Wow. Doesn't that give us a bit of a perspective around what we should be preaching? Let's read that again. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that brings good tidings, good news, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, my God reigns. God's a good God. God has only good for planet Earth. God wants Earth to experience peace. If that's not what we're preaching, if that's not the gospel, then it's a different gospel to this. Now, it's interesting here when you read that. The good news must publish peace with God. The good news must publish peace with God. When we preach the gospel, what we're saying is it's okay. There's peace between God and man. Now that's important because the world out there that isn't in church doesn't know that. They don't know that God's at peace with them. In fact, the war is over. It's peace time. Grace is a time of peace. The war's over. There's no more war. Jesus went to Calvary's cross and he paid the price and he had victory over sin and death. There is no more war between heaven and earth, but there is peace. And this gospel is the gospel of peace. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Now, Paul was talking about the whole armor of God. And he got to verse 15 of chapter 6 and he said, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Isn't that interesting? Shod means to bind under one's feet like shoes or sandals. So that means you're always in readiness. You've got your sandals or your shoes on and you're ready to go. Now, we need to be in readiness. In fact, the Bible tells us that we always have to be ready to give an answer, does it not? In Peter, let's have a look at that. 1 Peter chapter 3. Just go forward a bit further. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. New Living, if you're following with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 15. In fact, I'm going to read from verse 13. Read with me from the New Living if you've got it there. "Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if somebody asks you about your Christian hope, so if somebody asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." Remember, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, we're the branch. There's no fruit on the vine, the fruit comes off the branches. But without him, we can't produce and bear fruit." What this is saying is, always be ready. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope you have. And of course, as believers in Christ, we have hope, don't we? Yep. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope has a place in the journey of faith. It's the evidence of what we can't see. If you can see it, it's not faith. It's what you can't see, but believe, based on the promises of God. That's how faith operates. That's the realm of faith. It's the unseen realm, not the seen realm. But having your feet in readiness to preach the gospel of peace is just the same as giving an answer for the hope that you have. Now, I know, speaking to some people over the last couple of weeks, that they've been having conversations with people about their God. Because God creates those opportunities where we share our faith. Now, you may not be giving chapter and verse necessarily, but if you're letting people know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, I'm telling you, that's the gospel of peace. God does love us. God cares so much for his children. And he wants so much more for the church, his bride. I mean, it's his bride. He wants it to be a beautiful church without spot, wrinkle or blemish because of what Jesus did, not what we do. We're a glorious church in his sight. So, you know, you look at Ephesians, it says, have your feet shod in readiness. Have those sandals or those shoes on, ready to go. And always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope you have. Because people ask you, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you think that? Why do you believe there's a life after this? And out of your spirit will come the right answer as you trust God. Why? Because of the abundance of the heart, you're going to speak. Now, go to 2 Timothy. Go back a little bit. Paul warns Timothy in these last days. And I'm sure when Paul was referring to, you know, in those days are now. We're in the days that Paul's talking about. And if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read from 1 to 4. That's interesting. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, reprove, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, the reason why Paul's saying this is the next verse. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So Paul was urging Timothy to preach the gospel whether conditions were favorable or unfavorable. That's irrelevant. Whether people agree with you or disagree with you, whether they love you or they hate you, there's always a time to proclaim the good news. To be instant is to be at hand or to be ready or present. So it's a similar thought there. To be instant is to be ready or present. So Paul was warning of a time when people would not endure sound doctrine. Now that's another a phrase or terminology for rejecting truth. I wonder if we're there now. I wonder if we're in an age at the moment where people en masse are rejecting truth. Think so, possibly? Because, you know, the Bible says that life is precious. But the world's got a view that, no, it's not. See, life begins at conception. Life's precious to God because he forms life in the womb. But the world doesn't really care about that. See, the world's got a different view about that. But God has a plan for every human being. Now, clearly not every human being is going to live out their plan. Not when another human being makes a determination that that's not going to be the case. So, and that's sad because, you know, that's rejecting truth. See, truth is life's precious to God. And it doesn't matter what laws are put in place. If it's against the word of God, it's unrighteous. It's unrighteous. So, you know, we thank God for the sanctity of life. And we should be pro-life. As Christians, the idea that we would think, well, you know, maybe if somebody's a subject of a bad experience, then there's justification. We're pro-life people. We're pro-life. Life's precious to God. And for those that, you know, don't have that view on this earth, well, they have to stand before God in judgment. That's not for me to judge. Precious people that have maybe been involved in things like abortions, you know, anyone can repent before God. God forgives all sin. But people have to go before him. A lot of precious people out there that have made some really, really bad choices and their life is tormented with guilt, shame and condemnation. But that's not God's best. It's not God's best for people. God forgives. God forgave Moses, a murderer. God forgave David, a murderer, and God forgave Paul, a murderer. That's not the issue. The issue is where they'll go to him. The point I want to make there is truth and there's a rejection of truth. We want to stay with the truth, amen, no matter what people think. I don't care what you think. I care what God thinks. I care what God thinks. God has a plan for every human being. So he says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So what he's saying is they will seek out false teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. False teachers. They itch their ears. Say this, make me feel good. That's what the gospel's about. The gospel's about us connecting to a living God that can make us something that we can never be without him. Can I tell you, if you don't involve God in your world, you'll never amount to all that God's called you to be. You will not. If God is just a Sunday experience for you, you will never fulfill the fullness of what God has for you. You can't. No, I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be legalistic. I'm saying that God wants to bless you beyond your wildest expectations, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So whatever you can think, God can do bigger than that. But you're going to have to involve him in your world. Involve him in your world. Let him know what you're concerned about. Let him know what your heart desire is, because he gives the desires of your heart. Trust him. He's faithful to you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. But he won't force himself into our lives. He's a gentleman. He's not the devil. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit will involve himself if we allow him. That's how God works. God will never, ever force himself into your world or mine. But if we allow him in, I tell you right now, whatever your world is today, it is going to be different tomorrow when God is at the center of your world. So that was Paul's warning. And then it goes on to say, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. So that was an exhortation to Timothy. So what's the gospel? So what is it? Well, we know one thing, it's the power of God. Go with me to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, for, and this is Paul speaking, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Now that means to the non-Jews, the Gentile nations, which we were. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God. Now you don't need to turn there, but if you were to read 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, the power of God. So when you preach the cross to someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they go, whatever. Whatever means nothing to them. It's foolishness to them. But to those that are being saved, it's the power of God. Now this gospel has to be preached in its truth. My experience, I could spend 30 years in church and not know Jesus. And that's exactly what happened with me. In church. Had no relationship with God. Coming to church on Sunday doesn't get you a relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you do with what you hear? And more importantly, do you hear the truth? Because the truth will always reveal a loving, merciful, gracious God. Anything outside of that is not the gospel. See, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the word then corrects and exhorts and does all the things it needs to do and rebukes from time to time. This word is a chastiser. Sometimes it gives us a little tap on the back of the legs, doesn't it? Why? Because we need it. But with salvation, it's the glorious knowledge that there's a loving God that cares for you. Now, if God didn't bring correction to his children, he'd be an absentee father, would he not? Any natural father or mother needs to correct children from time to time. God does the same. So we know it's the power of God. But it's also the gospel of grace. Have a look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. See, the gospel of Christ is the gospel of grace. Now, Paul declares it in the writing to the Galatian church. And he says this in verse 6 of chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he's saying, Galatian church, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you coming away from the grace of Christ unto another gospel? Interesting, isn't it? The grace of Christ is likened to a gospel. Keep reading. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So the grace of Christ is the gospel of Christ. They're the same. Now, can we confirm that out of the mouth of two scriptures? You know, can we see this as a truth? Well, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Go there. Acts chapter 20. And verse 24. Paul speaking. And he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Wow. This gospel is certainly good news. Because if this gospel is about the grace of God, then it can only be good news. Because grace is God's favor that we don't deserve. His unmerited favor to a people that weren't worthy to receive it. You know, the grace of God is him giving us a gift that we're not entitled to. That's the grace of God. So God says, you know what? I love you. You are my enemies, but I still love you. And if you come to me, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. That's grace. That's the gospel. They're the same. And that's the gospel of peace. They're all connected. The gospel of grace is the gospel of peace. Why? Peace with God. A lot of Christians don't have peace with God. They're constantly tormented because they have the devil whispering in their ears continually, saying things about them that aren't true. See, the devil wants to lie to you to convince you that you are not worthy to be in the presence of God. Guess what? You weren't, nor was I, but Jesus made you worthy. So what we do is we go to the Word and discover where we are worthy. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made us righteous. We didn't. He did. So, you know, remind the devil, you know what, devil? You're right, I was unworthy, but he made me worthy. Amen. And send his saddle home with him. But you'll never be worthy, devil. Never. But I am. Remind yourself that you're his righteousness. God loves you. And he wants us to understand this amazing power of God's grace. Now, the gospel is the way of peace. Okay? Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I want to read from verse 76 to 79. This is about John the Baptizer. And it says this, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Okay? So This good news is guiding us into the way of peace. But look what happens when the way of peace is hidden. Have a look at Luke 19. Go to the 19th chapter in the same book. And I want to read from the New Living Translation. And we're going to read from verse 41. 19. Verse 41. But as he came close to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace. This is Jesus, before he goes to the cross, weeping over Jerusalem. Weeping over Jerusalem. 3.5 years of ministry and many rejected him. And he says, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. And the King James says, you did not know the time of your visitation. You know, they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. How sad it is today when you share your faith with someone, but people are closed to the way of peace and they don't recognize the day of a visitation from God. Because there's going to come a time in everyone's life that it's going to end. And your heart prayer is that they recognize the day of his visitation before it ends. There is no salvation after death. We have to make Jesus Lord before we ever leave this world. Confess him as Lord. Because there's the way of peace. But Jesus said, how is today that all people, that you of all people, would understand the way of peace? That's the gospel. That's the gospel that we preach today, the way of peace. See, there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. Go with me to 10. Acts 10, 38. 36, actually. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. It's amazing how much is in the scriptures regarding this subject. I'll read from verse 34. This is about the Gentiles hearing the good news. You know, when Peter was called to Cornelius' house. And he says, this is a new living. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, the message was there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Now, I want you to look at that in connection with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Quickly go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again, New Living Translation. See, God is making his plea through us, the church, his children. He's making a plea to humanity. Let's have a look at that plea. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So if we belong to Christ, we're new. The old life is gone. a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. There it is. It's His gracious gift to us. Nothing that we deserved or earned. Who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Himself. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sin against them, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now that word reconcile means to return to favor with or to receive one into favor. So we return to favor with someone or we receive one into favor. That's reconciliation. So God's reconciled us back to Himself. We're now in favor with God. Wow. How priceless is that? Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of peace right there. Come back to God. It's okay. He's no longer angry. There's no longer sin being held to your account. You are free to return to the Father. Now, we remember the prodigal, don't we? Wasn't he free to return to the Father? He didn't think he was. When he returned to the Father, he was rehearsing how he was going to tell the Father, I've sinned, I've done all this, I'm no longer worthy to be your son, just make me one of your hired servants. That's good enough for me. But he didn't even get that out. He couldn't get all that out in time because his Father stopped him midstream and he called for the robe and the sandals and the ring and he said, kill the fatted calf. This my dead son is alive and my son that was lost has been found. Now that's an expression of Father God right there. So the son that returned to the father in the story of the prodigal, he wasn't worthy. He didn't deserve it. He wasted all his inheritance, just threw it out and blew it on unrighteous living. But his father received him and wiped his debt. He wiped his debt. He cancelled it. That's what the blood of Jesus did on Calvary's cross. He cancelled the debt. There's no debt. We don't go to God with debt. We go to God free, redeemed, sanctified, made right with Him. We're now in favor with God. So if we're in favor with God, what does that mean He's going to do for us if we ask Him? We're in favor with Him. We have God's favor wherever we go. And every time you see it, you should declare it. That was the favor of God. That was that favor right there. Oh, I got that parking spot. Thank you for the favor, Lord. I got that discount when no one else got it. Someone else got the parking ticket, but I didn't, thank God. Favor? I had that about a week ago. Two cars side by side. He got one, I didn't. And the girl was right there. And I said, she said, no, 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 it's all right. I said, thank you. Off I went. She was right there. Half an hour over the time I was, half an hour. She'd already booked one car and she was in. I said, no, 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 it's all good. Big smile, it's all right. What was that? No, she didn't. She didn't know me and I didn't know her. But that was the favor of God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I was half an hour late. I'm sorry. But that was the favor of God. God's favor. He'll bless us in all that we do. But I want to make the point here. This is a plea. Come back to God. And I know many of you from time to time are having these conversations with people about God's precious love for them. That's the good news. It's the gospel of peace. Because when you know that there's a God in heaven that's not holding your sin to your account, you can have peace. You can have peace. And that's going to allow you to go to His throne boldly. Come up to the Father. Go to the Father and talk to Him. Tell Him what you want. Don't be weighed down by things you got wrong. God knows it long before you tell Him anyway. Just deal with it. Say, Father, I missed that one. He says, yep, I know, son. Well, do it. I know that. Thanks for your forgiveness. Thanks for your grace. Move on. Keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil stop you being all God's called you to be. Don't let him. Don't let him whisper lies in your ears. Keep doing what he's called you. Why? Because we're ambassadors. Ambassadors are sent by the head of state to speak. And the ambassador only speaks what the head of state directs him or her to speak. We don't go out there and just say what we want to say because it sounds good. If we're ambassadors for the Lord God Almighty, we declare this book and every truth in it. Otherwise, we're not faithful ambassadors. We don't say, well, you know what, God might heal some and he might not. It all went out with the disciples. You're not an ambassador for Jesus. You're a henchman for the devil. Speaking stuff like that, all that does is promote, you know, people's uncertainty about a certain God who's given us a sure, more sure word of prophecy in the scriptures. Amen. So if we speak things outside of that, we are not ambassadors for Christ. We are speaking against Christ. That's anti-Christ. We don't want that. We have to give them the truth of the word of God. Amen. Come back to God. That's what he's saying. God was declaring in advance, calling those things that be not as though they were, when in Luke chapter 2, and you can go there, those angels broke out in song at the birth of Jesus. Remember that? They broke out in song. And what they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So what was God declaring through those angels? He was declaring, I've got peace. I'm at peace. God is saying the war's finished. 33 years before Jesus went to Calvary's cross, God was calling things that be not as though they were. He was saying, the war's over. It's okay between God and man. Now, the Bible didn't say, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill among men. Didn't say among men. Didn't say that. Said toward man. If you think there's peace among men on the earth, have a look. Have a look. Now, there should be peace in the church, because we have the Prince of Peace on the inside. So for us not to have unity and oneness of heart in the church, then there's a problem, because we can. The world can't. It hasn't got this peace. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. But the church can. So we've got God's favor and we've got his peace. See, that peace and joy comes from a place of righteousness. That's where it comes from. Because that's the kingdom of God. So as we bring this to a close, I want to take you to one more scripture. Actually, two. First one is 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And we've talked about the gospel is. We know that the gospel is the power of God. We know it's the peace of God. We know it's the way of peace. It's all those wonderful things. But what happens when the gospel's hid? What happens when it's hid? And Paul speaks about this when he says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 3, and 4 from the King James. But if our gospel be hidden, this is a gospel of peace, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ. It is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Satan. The devil is the God of this world. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ. Paul knew his place, a great apostle, but he knew that he was a servant of the Lord. So the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Blinded is, he's blinded their perception or their thoughts. That's what blinded the mind is. He blinds their perceptions or their thoughts. That's why we've got to renew our mind. That's why we've got to think on things that are good and lovely and honest and have a good report. Things that are faithful. Think on those things. We need to, you know, spend time meditating on truths, not problems. If you meditate on the truth, God will give you the answer to the problem. But if we focus on the problem, then we lose our peace. And remember, He gives us perfect peace for those whose minds are stayed on Him because we trust Him. Yep. That's how it works. That's the cooperation we have with God. If you keep your mind on me, I'm going to give you perfect peace. Now, can I tell you, if you've got perfect peace in this world, you are doing very well. Thank you very much. It's priceless. Peace of God is priceless. So, with understanding of God's love and grace comes peace. That's why the devil wants to hide it. Now, in my closing comment, that woman that had the issue of blood, she got healed. And you can make a note of the scripture, which is in Mark chapter 4. And in verse 34, you know, Jesus said, you know, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Now, the reason why we need to study the scripture more deeply than just a quick reference is those two words, whole, have two different meanings. The original Greek, two different meanings. So when I study and prepare a message, I have to dig into the original meaning of words so you understand. When he said, woman, your faith has made you whole, he said, your faith has made you sozo. S-O-Z-O. Now, that word sozo means to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well, or make whole. Now, that's a very powerful word. When he says you're made whole, go in peace. Can I tell you now? It's only when you're saved, healed, delivered, preserved, protected, and made whole that you'll go in peace. Can you see it? Didn't Jesus say to the woman with the issue of blood, neither do I condemn you? Go on your way and sin no more. Can you see? God's position first. There's the God side and there's the man side. What he's saying is, your faith has made you whole. Now go in peace. Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Now don't sin anymore. But we have to know that he's not a condemning God for us not to sin anymore. We need to know that we have been made whole, righteous, blameless before him so that we can go on our way with peace. And that other word, whole, it's more specific to the healing that she experienced, and it actually means in the Greek, H-Y-G-R-E-S. Oh, no, sorry, hygies, which is probably where hygiene comes from, the word hygiene. H-Y-G-I-E-S. So that second word is, and be whole of your plague. In other words, be healed of the infirmity, but be whole in terms of your relationship with me. I want you to pick up on that. So for him to say to her, you've been made whole, go in peace. The only way she could have gone in peace was if she had been transformed. Because of what occurred there. Why? Her faith. Her faith. Just like Abraham, he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, was it not? Well, we now believe in Jesus and that makes us righteous. The gospel is peace. When people hear the good news and they're mind, their understanding is open to the reality of the truth of that, with that will come God's peace. And that's our proclamation today and tomorrow and while we're on this earth, it's okay. Come back to God. That's what our ambassadorship is called to declare. Come back to God because God's good with us. God's at peace with us. God's favor is on our lives. Amen. And with that comes peace. Amen?